D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Hi, I'm Frank Wright, President and CEO of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Socialism, gender confusion, abortion in the name of convenience, all of these things that were once unthinkable are now commonplace. They are even taught in our schools and universities as positive virtues. Our calling from God is to broadcast truth. And in this decisive year for America, I'm asking you to help us make a tangible difference. You can stand for truth by helping us produce a national television special that we are calling Defend America 2020. This hard-hitting special will powerfully expose the dominant lies of the culture, offering biblical truth and hope to a nation deciding its future at the polls this November. If you are able to give a generous donation to help us produce and air our Defend America 2020 special and continue our broadcast outreach, we will thank you by sending you the indispensable new book, The Coming Communist Wave. What happens if the left captures all three branches of government? By our friend and yours, Robert Knight. In many ways, our culture is facing a crisis of truth. Please help us stand for truth with Defend America 2020. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We live in a culture that is in full flight from the truth, where false notions of tolerance have replaced God's law. But this is no longer something outside the church. Many who claim the name of Christ also seem bent on unbiblical compromise. Our own David Wright takes a closer look.
New tonight, the person rising in the polls, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg is now talking about his faith openly as a gay Episcopalian.
Christianity to me is about humility. It's about love. And if we want to put those values into political practice, at least by my lights, they lead us in a very progressive direction.
Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, made headlines last year, becoming the first openly gay candidate to launch a major presidential campaign. Mayor Pete self-identifies as a Christian, but do his beliefs fall in line with biblical teaching?
Pete Buttigieg presents himself as a moderate and a representative of the Christian faith. But I would first of all say there's nothing moderate about him or his views.
The other thing that we've seen as a real concern is Pete Buttigieg really trying to talk about his faith in a way that is co-opting the historical understanding of Christianity and trying to fit it into a 21st century progressive LGBT mold.
Mayor Pete isn't alone when it comes to his views on faith and same-sex marriage. Many Christians in the church today are making huge compromises to biblical truths.
I think we should be worried as conservative evangelicals about some of the drift in evangelical churches. Mainline churches didn't become liberal all at once. It happened gradually over time as they compromised with the culture. And evangelicals have doubled in terms of their percentage in the society in the last 30 years. And as the society has become more liberal and more antagonistic to biblical values and biblical convictions, I think a lot of evangelicals are tempted to go along to get along.
One of the interesting realities of our time has been how in certain pockets of Christianity, even within the church, there's not been a high view of Scripture. And we need to remember, and we certainly need to teach young people and our kids, that the Word of God is the authority.
What is causing this drift away from biblical values and truth in the church?
In many respects, what's happening in America now with, I think, the triumph of feeling over reason is Jean-Jacques Rousseau come back to haunt us. Jean-Jacques Rousseau said that in its primitive form, humankind had been basically driven by emotions and by felt needs. And it was when we began to reason that we became untrue to what it is to be human, and that reason had messed up human life in many different ways.
Our emotions can often mislead us. I want to give you some hope that feelings are not facts. So what we need to do is to understand that facts are facts and they need to be accepted. Feelings flow from those facts, and sometimes they are the right feelings, sometimes they're the wrong feelings. So feelings are important, but feelings are not our source of truth.
We live in a time of unlimited choices. We can choose, you know, food, music, education, even degree programs. We can pick classes a la carte. And sometimes people carry that into their view of God and Christianity and spiritual things, that, well, maybe this is just another realm of life where I call the shots and I'll order the menu as I see fit. And the reality is that God calls us to come to Him on His terms, on what the Bible says.
The source of truth comes from the Scriptures. It comes from God's standard. And we can't look to feelings to tell us which direction to go. And this is absolutely critical because, indeed, we live in a very therapeutic world. And so people are prone to say, it's true for me, which of course is nonsense. If you found some truth, it applies to everyone. I like to tell people, you're welcome to your own opinions, but you're not welcome to your own truth.
So that's really the choice. People have to decide, is your faith based on the Bible, or is it based on what I think, what I feel, what I believe? That's a dangerous place to build a faith.
In July of 2018, the Revoice Conference was held at a church in St. Louis that belongs to a historically conservative denomination. The mission of the conference was, quote, supporting, encouraging, and empowering gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, and other LGBT Christians so they can flourish while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality, end quote.
The culture has influenced us more than we've influenced the culture. I mean, I talk to the younger evangelicals and I say, well, I've decided that God accepts monogamous same-sex relationships. I'm going, you decided? Who made you God? I mean, you know, there's an authority, and the authority is Scripture. And the same-sex issue is really a truth serum for evangelicals, because there's no way you can finesse it. You either approve or you don't approve. You either believe God approves or God doesn't approve.
What happens in our society is simply this. The word love is used and greatly misused. So the whole idea is that if you love someone, you have to affirm their same-sex relationships. Now, as a church, we should be very sympathetic and work with those who struggle with same-sex attraction. But at the same time, we cannot affirm what God has condemned.
If you're delivering a diluted gospel to have an impact-friendly church, a mega church, to be able to make sure you're more inclusive, you're more diverse, you're more tolerant, whatever adjective you want to do, but you don't deliver the truth of the gospel, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, we are at a crossroads in America today, and the church will suffer profoundly.
The church is facing a very serious problem today. Many denominations are dealing with factions who aren't holding to biblical truths. This begs the question for people of faith, do you believe in the absolute authority of God?
It is a very serious battle that Christians need to wake up to. There is no compromise in this battle because there is a bright line. And if that LGBT worldview gains acceptance and gains power, political power, then churches, Christians, people of faith, are going to be the target, and there will be no mercy against them. And I think we need to wake up to that fact. This is a battle, and frankly, it's a war.
Every day, false ideas dictate a false view of life, death, God, and eternity. But this is fake news that requires a response. Breaking Through the Deceptions That Challenge Your Faith, the hardcover book Modern Myths Exposed presents solid biblical teaching. Tearing down the high walls of unbelief with biblical, historical, and logical proof, Dr. Kennedy demolishes modern myths that cause so much damage.
And I have seen them like castles in the sand before the incoming tide melt away and disappear altogether before the incontrovertible fact of the Word of God. Truly, God's Word standeth still.
Contact us today to receive your copy of the book Modern Myths Exposed for your generous donation toward the ongoing work of this ministry.
As those who trust and follow Christ, we are not called to make up our own truth. We serve a King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Later in this program, we will share a resource kit with you that will help you understand and counter many of the false notions being embraced in our society and, sadly, even within the church. But on the day we call Palm Sunday, nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode into Jerusalem as an arriving king. Yet many then, just as today, foolishly rejected his lordship over their lives. Dr. Kennedy shares more in this portion of his message, Crown Him Lord and King.
Here Christ is making that great descent down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. You recall that he sent his disciples into the village to find a colt upon which never man sat before that would be tied up. The owners came and said, "Why do you unleash the colt?" He said, "Tell them because the Lord hath need of him." And they brought him to Jesus. Obviously, they concurred in the request. But he is the Lord. He said to his disciples before, "Ye call me Lord and Master, and ye say well, for so I am." What an incredible statement to make. Could you imagine saying that to anybody? I can't. "But why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" On Palm Sunday, when Jesus mounted that colt, which was so incredibly brought to him, as he predicted it would be, they placed their garments upon the colt and then upon the ground, and waving the palm branches in the breeze, they were shouting loud, "Hosannas to the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." They were all rejoicing and praising God, except for some. The Pharisees, they were not amused. Oh, that's an understatement. They were offended. Is that a familiar word today? Everybody's offended today. Everybody can be offended today, except Christians. We're not ever to become offended. Though our religion is mocked in schools and press and media, we are not to be offended. We're just to take it. But they were offended, and they said to Jesus, "Master, rebuke thy disciples. Tell them to shut their mouths." And Jesus responded, "I say unto you that should these hold their peace, the very rocks would cry out." Well, now, why were they offended? Why were they so unbelieving? You see, because to submit themselves to the kingship of Christ would mean, first of all, that they would have to take the crown off of their own head to place it upon Him. And they would rather be the Lord and Master of their own lives than submit themselves to Christ. And they have a great following. Their descendants are legion in our day. Now, they don't like to call themselves Pharisees. They probably would rather call themselves humanists. That's a nice intellectual sounding term. But the main thing is that they're not going to bow the knee to Jesus and serve him as king, because they have a king, namely themselves. This is what is known as the autonomous man, who does it my way and will not have anyone else to rule over him. Now, we're all familiar with the story of Palm Sunday, but I wonder how many are familiar with the context. The very previous verse, Jesus says, "But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." That's the conclusion of the parable of the pounds, when a nobleman went off to get a kingdom and then came back. But they had sent an embassage after him saying, "We do not like this man. We will not have him to reign over us." And they rejected his kingship. And Jesus said, "Bring hither my enemies who would not that I would reign over them and slay them." So I would ask you, my friend, who is your king? Who is your Lord? Who is your master? Jesus said, "Ye call me Lord and Master, and ye say well, for so I am. But why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" My friends, this makes it very plain. Christ is either our Lord, who is reigning over us, or we are the enemies of Christ, whom in that day of reckoning he will command to be slain. Is Christ your Lord, or is he your enemy? He is, one or the other. I'm sure most all of you know what an oxymoron is, all except those who are one. An oxymoron are two words that cancel each other out. Oxymoron itself means dull, sharp. Well, here's an oxymoron for you. No Lord. You can't say that. You can't say it truthfully. If you say it, it's a lie. It's as much a lie as hot, cold, or dry water, because one part cancels out the other. If Christ is our Lord, you say, "Yes, Lord," or he's not your Lord. If you say no, then you can't say Lord, because he is not your Lord. If he is our Lord and Master, we are to obey him. We are to serve him. Who indeed is the Lord of your life? It's either Christ or self.
In one of the most sobering passages in the Bible, Jesus Christ issues a warning for his followers, saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He goes on to say, "Of those who disobey, I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Workers of lawlessness are literally those who act as if there were no law over them. Yet when we stop to look around, we see a culture, with the approval of many professing Christians, in which a man can be legally regarded as a woman simply by identifying as one, in which the highest court has legalized abortion and sodomy by ruling that the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning of the universe. This, dear friend, is pure lawlessness. It's premised on lies. Lies that our founder, Dr. D. James Kennedy, spent his life persuasively dispelling. You need to understand the lies the culture tries to brainwash you with, and the biblical truth for countering them. We would like to send you Dr. Kennedy's hardcover book, Modern Myths Exposed, as our thanks for your generous donation to help us with the ongoing work of this ministry. In this book, Dr. Kennedy lifts the veil from four myths that have shipwrecked the faith of many, including that archaeology disproves the Bible and that there is no life after death. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $75 or more, we will send you the book plus a compelling new DVD series we have developed, Modern Myths Exposed, Volume 1 and 2. This series takes on 11 of the most damaging yet common myths holding sway in our culture, including that there are no absolutes, that we can have morality without religion, and that God and state must be separate. We are inundated with modern myths on a daily basis. These resources will help you see through those deceptions and are perfect for equipping a student in high school or college who's being taught falsehoods as empirical fact. We will send you the hardcover book, Modern Myths Exposed, by Dr. D. James Kennedy, as our thanks for your generous donation to help us do the vital work of this ministry. And as thanks for your donation of $75 or more, we will send you the book plus the DVD set, Modern Myths Exposed, Volume 1 and 2, featuring 11 messages on key myths of our time. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. It's fashionable these days to say that one believes in some sort of God. However, the God of the Bible and its teachings on things like judgment and hell? Well, for some, that's a bridge too far. So-called deconversion stories often start right here. This is where someone who once claimed to have faith later walks away from biblical faith after deciding that a God of love cannot possibly send people to hell. Now, this person is merely fashioning a God in their own image, but demanding a God like that is an error of logic as well as theology. A God without judgment and wrath is a God who shrugs at the atrocities of an Adolf Hitler, saying, "What can I do? I'm a God of love. I can't judge. I must simply overlook all of this." A God without judgment and hell is a God without justice. And there is no such God. The one true God is indeed a loving and merciful God, but He is also righteous, just, and holy. And He promises in His Word that He will punish sin. The true God, the God of the Bible, hates murder. He hates genocide. He hates the killing of children in the name of convenience. He hates racism. Now, those who think such language is too strong are not only ignorant of their Bibles, but have undercut any possibility of justice in this life or the next. God is just. God does punish sin. His justice will be done. But therein lies a great problem for you and for me. Our problem is that we are sinners in the sight of this holy and just God. The Scriptures make it plain when they say, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one who is righteous. No, not one. But God solved our problem for us, not by setting aside His righteous justice and allowing all manner of evil to go unpunished. God solved the problem of our sin in the person and work of Jesus Christ, all of which culminated on a Good Friday nearly 2,000 years ago. On that day, God poured out His wrath against your sins and mine. On that great and glorious day, the sinless Savior took the white-hot wrath of God upon Himself, offering His body and blood as our atonement. Jesus paid the full price of sin for us, making it possible for us to have everlasting life, living in the very presence of God. All this is offered to us as a free gift, apart from any merit of our own. Have you received this gift? By turning away from your sins and putting your full trust in Jesus Christ, you can receive forgiveness from God and eternal life. I invite you to do that right now, even where you sit. The Scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you have done that, we have a book to send you at no cost or obligation to you. It's Dr. Kennedy's book for new believers to guide you in your relationship with Christ. It's called Beginning Again. Contact us to receive your copy today, and may God bless you as you do. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
It was the dawning of the most magnificent, the most marvelous, the most monumental day in all of history. It was the day of resurrection.
The evidence of history shows us that the early church absolutely believed that the resurrection was historical, an event that changed the world.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.